I have four readings this morning, all from the Gospels, starting with Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?" Matthew 10. "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Luke 9. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and let lose or forfeit their very self?" This is the word of the Lord.
I wonder what sort of week you've had. Good week? Bad week? I collected a new wooden spoon this week. That sort of just rippled through a little bit. For those who are not rugby fans, Wales didn't do very well this year, and so therefore we collected the wooden spoon for the first time for 21 years. So I've got a new wooden spoon to stir with. My wife says I stir enough anyway, so I don't need a new wooden spoon. I also managed to lose a tooth. Everyone that I've spoken to about this has said, "Did your wife knock it out?" So I'm not quite sure what they know about Julie that I don't know, being a little fiery Welsh girl. But so I have a hole here now, and I've told the camera guys not to focus on my mouth too much because it'll look quite so good as it normally does in terms of my full set of teeth. So hopefully that's going to get sorted out later on this week. But what sort of week have you had? Today is Palm Sunday. Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that had been ordained by God and was available and ready for him. And people were putting down gestures of praise and worship as he came into the streets of Jerusalem, only to find by the end of the week that he would be hanging on a cross, dying for you and for me. How the world changes. In the matter of less than a week, we have a transformation in the life of Jesus. Today is the last in our series, and it's a very, very exciting end to our series. Well, I hope it is. It's exciting for me, so I hope it's going to be exciting for you as well. But do you get it? Do you get the message of the cross? Do you get what Jesus is talking about? Do you understand those wonderful words that Mark so eloquently read out to us today? Do you get it? Do you get the severity of Jesus' words? Do you get the true meaning, the depth of what Jesus was talking about? I don't know about you, but having had children and now seven grandchildren, you can look into their eyes and you can give them a message and you say, "Do you get it?" And they look at you and they say, "Yes, Grandpa." And you know that they have not received the message. So I'm looking into your eyes today, and I'm asking the same question. Do you get it? Do you get the message of the gospel? Now, for those of us who travel to South Asia, we have a slight problem in the sense that the definition of yes, of course, in South Asia is to do this. Okay, so some of you will be doing this, and some of you will be doing this. So I won't know whether you really know or not. But I hope in your hearts that you will get the message. Because if you don't get the message of the cross, then there is no hope. Because on Friday, we will be celebrating the death of Jesus. And on Sunday, we will be rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus. And here, in the build-up to this momentous event, we have Jesus saying that if you want to be my disciple, you have to be able to give everything up to gain your life. And how much am I prepared to give up to follow Jesus? So who is Jesus? Now, I'm assuming that most people will know the answer to that question. And as we celebrate Easter, of course, the news about Jesus will be even more on our media and our news programs and life in general. People will get to know more about the story of Jesus. But who was Jesus? Jesus, in the verses that we read, calls his disciples to deny themselves and to take up the cross and follow him. And to do this, we need to fully understand what they were going to follow. Jesus said, I'm going to die. I'm going to lose my life. Will you follow me on this pathway? Will you follow me where I'm going? And in one sense, they could not go where he was going. And he made that clear to them. Because they could not die the spiritual death that he died so that we could have our sins forgiven. But he was about to die. He was about to lose his life. And so therefore, do we know who Jesus is? Well, let's move on, and if we go on to the next slide just for a second. Okay. Yeah, there we are. Let me get this right. Yeah, this is the message to Peter. And Jesus was walking along the road, and he said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do they say that I am? And they give different answers, Elijah, John the Baptist, and so on and so on. And then he said, who do you believe that I am? Yeah. Who do you believe? Not what other people believe, but what do you believe? I remember sitting in the gym one day. I think I've shared this story a long time ago. But, you're sitting in the gym having a conversation with somebody. And it's one of those sort of surreal situations for men as we sit around and we're sort of trying to get changed and we're having a conversation with someone. And this man wanted to talk about faith. He was a Catholic and it was Easter time. And he said to me, I don't really believe this anymore. And he said, well, this is why I don't believe it. This is so on and so on and so on. And I said to him, what do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? And the room went silent. And he left. Because he couldn't give the answer. So my question is, who is Jesus? And who do you, and who do I believe that Jesus is? This is a big message, isn't it? It's a really big message. And that we need to understand this message. In a big, big way. Peter got it. He got the message that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, to be the Messiah, he had to be the Son of God. He had to be God himself. And so therefore, that's what helps us understand the whole meaning of the cross, in the sense that Jesus was the Messiah. He came to this world so that his life could be taken, so that we could have our sins forgiven. But the disciples had a problem, because they didn't believe that Jesus was going to die. They thought he was going to come in triumph. And when he came in Jerusalem on a donkey, then perhaps this was fulfilling some of that view in their mind of what they thought was going to happen. They would read verses of scripture that would talk about the Messiah coming in glory and in power on the clouds of heaven. And yet the same scriptures talk about the meek and the mild Son of God, the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for us. And like all good human beings, including us, we take our selective scriptures, don't we? And we take the bits that we like and the bits that we want to read, and we put them into our frame. And those are the things that form what we believe. But Jesus was here to point out to them that there was going to be a two-stage process. And now, because we have the New Testament, we know that Jesus died and was resurrected and was taken up into heaven. And he said, this same Jesus will return. And so we know that the Messiah will return and will redeem this planet. But at this time, that was not the case. So Peter got it in part. And sometimes we get it in part. We get part of the message. We get the message of salvation, and we get the need to know that we need to have our sins forgiven and that we need to be followers of Jesus. But are we prepared to become a disciple? Okay. We'll move on to slide 4 if we could. Yeah. He pointed out to them that the Son of Man would need to suffer, that he would need to die and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? Going up to Jesus and telling him, hey, pal, you're wrong. That's what Peter did. And Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You see, we see bits of Jesus that we like. You know, that warm, cuddly, gentle man. But here we have a man that's rebuked this man directly and said, "Get behind me. What you are doing and what you are saying is wrong. It is not from God." So what is from God? He says, "I'm going to die, and if you want to follow me and be my disciples, you may also have to die." And some of them did. And, you know, we're not told too much in the New Testament about some of those stories, some of which we are in the case of Stephen and so on. But we're not told too many about those stories. And, you know, it's probably not for today. But you can read those stories and find out that those disciples had to be willing to give their lives. So here we are at the center of the message of the cross. If you want to be like me, Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, then you have to be willing to give up everything to follow me. You see, this was the crown jewels of the scriptures. This was the message that led to salvation. Everything else before and everything else behind revolves around these verses. Because if you want to become a son, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have to be willing to sacrifice everything. Because some of us may be thinking that maybe I've made some sacrifices already. Maybe I've done a few things in my life and I'm okay. Thank you. But God's word says, it is by grace that you have been saved. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, I can bring nothing to God because I am a sinner, saved by grace. There is nothing of myself which is worthy of acceptance to God other than what Jesus has done in me through the power of his Holy Spirit. And this is the starting point of where we are. You see, it's a complete paradox when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to take up the cross. This will lead to eternal life, and this is the eternal truth. And by following the way of the cross, we have salvation. And so by giving up your life, you can know salvation. Become a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said that he would suffer and die. This was not a soft, cuddly message to the disciples. And to those around, it wasn't just the disciples who were listening to this message, it was everyone around him. And he was given this very direct message that if you want to become one of my followers, if you want to know eternal life, then you have to give up everything for me. So how can we know this eternal life? How can we experience this eternal life? Well, there are three things that are said very clearly in the verses that we had read to us by Mark. The first is that we need to have self-denial. We need to deny ourselves. Then we need to be willing to carry the cross. And we'll talk a little bit about that, to bear the cross for Jesus. And we have to be willing to follow him. Three separate things that Jesus talked about. Now, in one sense, they merge into each other, but let's just have a look at the first one, self-denial. You see, the original words that we used when we talk about self-denial in the scriptures is that almost like to give up who I am, because I am worthless, I am of no value to God, and so therefore I have to give up who I am so that I can be accepted by God through the power of God's Spirit, transforming my life. Through the acknowledgement of the sin in my life, I come to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. You see, I have to be willing to give up who I am in the past. We have to put this old nature aside. We have to be prepared to submit to Christ, always acknowledging that it is by grace that we have been saved. Otherwise, we will start to sow the seeds of how good we are. You know, for those of us who've been Christians for some time, maybe we feel that we need a couple of those badges that Will was referring to. Maybe we feel that we have achieved and done something. And some in this room have and achieved many great things, but they are worthless without the knowledge of your eternal salvation, of your eternal soul. Yeah, how many of us would what would we pay to find eternal salvation? We would give everything to find eternal salvation. And yet Jesus is saying the way to know that is by self-denial. It's a contrary, isn't it? It's a paradox that if I give up who I am, I can find who I am. You see, you and I are spiritual beings. We one day will meet God. We will meet him face to face. And what we have done with these words will determine the outcome of that conversation. Luke chapter 18 says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven and beat on his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, there's nothing that I can have or bring which is acceptable to God other than the offering of myself to him. So what does it mean to carry our cross? Well, the cross is behind me. It's very symbolic, isn't it, that we should be talking about this today. What does it mean to carry our cross? Well, it's not the cross that Jesus carried, okay? Just in case you're thinking that we need to go and find that cross and we need to carry it. And some people have done that, of course, haven't they? They've built their own crosses and walked across different parts of the world and proclaimed the name of Jesus. Jesus isn't talking here about a cross in the same way. He's talking about a symbolic cross. It was not the cross that Jesus died. But the disciples knew what a cross was. You see, they lived at a time when the Romans were in charge. And the Romans' choice of death was crucifixion. And crucifixion takes place on a cross. It's a horrific death, and we don't need to go into that today, but, you know, it's a horrible way to die. And so the disciples knew that you needed to avoid this by any means. And so therefore, when Jesus gave the message to carry the cross, they knew that this was something significant that they would have to be doing. We sometimes get our crosses confused. We think we create our own crosses. Sometimes we do stupid things, don't we? Yeah? Am I the only one? Do some silly things? We say things to the people we love that we wish we hadn't said. We eat the wrong food. We live a lifestyle which is not so healthy. These aren't the crosses that Jesus was talking about. These are crosses that we impose upon ourselves. And it's not the cross that Jesus is talking about is to be the cross which enters into a relationship with him and to follow him. You see, to be willing to bear the cross of Jesus is to be willing to be rejected by others for following him. To have our family think that we're putting them second to him. Because we dare to listen to him first. I have the privilege of working in parts of the world where if you are not part of the Christian community, if you're part of the Hindu or the Muslim community or the Buddhist community, that if your life is given over to Christ, then you will be rejected and everything that you have will be rejected. We don't live in such a society. We live in a more open and tolerant and acceptable society. It's changing, but that's basically the way it is. If we wish to become a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, we can do that. And the cross that we bear is less significant. But if you go to these parts of the world, whether that be in South Asia or in Africa or other parts of the world where you will be shunned completely if you take up the cross of Jesus. You see, it's insane, isn't it? Why would you do it? Why would you take such a stance? Because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the reason. You see, the fact that I may possibly have to give up everything frightens me. I don't know if it frightens you, but if I had to give up everything that my job, my family, my lack of wealth perhaps, if I had to give up these things in terms of following Jesus, would I be prepared to do that? This was the command of Jesus. This is what Jesus expected of people. This is what he wanted them to do. slide that you're going to see is about James chapter 1. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And he goes on to talk about wisdom. You see, this is the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to be rejected by the world that we live in if we wish to become a follower of Jesus. You see, we get confused between the term Christian and disciple. We think that they're two different things, that we become a Christian and then we become a disciple. The indication here is that there is no gap between those two things. You dive straight in. Come and be my disciple. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he said to make disciples of every generation, teaching them all things that I have taught you. So yes, of course, there is a teaching process that we need to go through to become more like Jesus. But we enter in straight in at the deep end. There is no paddling pool of Christian faith. We dive straight in. So then, as we follow Jesus, we have to ask the question, how far are we prepared to follow Jesus? Is there something that if Jesus asked you to do, that you wouldn't do? Wow. The sacrifice that God may call upon our lives. Wow. I'm not going to ask you to answer that question. But in Matthew chapter 7, it says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many of you will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who fears these words of mine, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall." It did not fall. And if we are called by God, and God has revolutionized our life, and God's Spirit dwells within us, then we have the power not to fall. You need to understand that you have the power within you not to fall. You have the power to build your house and my house on the rock. It is there for us all to have, but some of us build our house on the sand. And we put our future in resources that are available to us, even our family and all the things around us, and we rely on those things more than we rely on God, and those things will not bring us to God. You see, having our children being the best children in the world, being the best educated children in the world, having the best resources, and everyone says that how wonderful they are, is not going to take us into heaven. Only what we do with Jesus will take us into heaven. We had those verses read to us in Mark chapter 8. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? What are you prepared to give for Jesus today? In a few moments, the band is going to come and play for us and take us into the final part of our service. But let me ask you the question again. I asked it earlier on to you. What would you give if you could guarantee eternal life with God? If I said to you right now, I can guarantee you eternal life with God, what would you give? Most of us would give anything to do that. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. But he's asking you to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Come into my house and be blessed. You know, one day we will meet God, and at that point it will be too late to change the outcome of the conversation. Because we are given one chance of life, and we don't know when that life will come to an end. I don't know about you, but I sat in awe on Friday evening as I listened to Catherine, Princess of Wales, tell her story. The humility and the grace that came from her as she shared what was happening within her body. And you could see the depth of the meaning of life had grown in her. And the depth of the meaning of life to other people had grown in her. I shared with the church back in, I think it was in December or January, that I had the privilege of just sharing with a neighbor in November. We sat on the wall together. He was not very well. And I shared to him about my faith and where was his faith and would he be looking beyond this world into the next world. 2 days later, he had a massive heart attack and died. And now he is beyond this world. I'm hoping that in some way that God spoke into his heart and he is now in the kingdom of God. We have a chance today to listen to what God has to say. We cannot determine the future, our eternal future, through what we do, only through what Jesus Christ can do in us. Only through God's grace. The paradox of the gospel is that through Christ, we can know forgiveness. We can commit our lives to him. We can build on the solid rock of God's salvation and live lives that bring us into the kingdom of God. That is available now, today. Will you take that message? Do you get the message? It's available to everyone. Are you willing to commit your life to Christ today? For some of us, that may be the first time. The first time that you've even thought that you needed to do that. You needed to commit your life to God, to seek his forgiveness, to acknowledge him as the Son of God, and allow him to come into your life through God's Holy Spirit in a powerful way and transform your life, and you can commit the rest of your life to him. For the majority of us here, this is an ongoing process. The day of salvation repeats itself. Each day is new. Each day I have to come before God and confess my sin and acknowledge him as part of my life, to be constantly filled with his Spirit day in after day. The same question applies. Are you willing to be open to that today? Don't leave today without giving an answer to that question. Just write that question on your heart today. Give yourself the answer. How much are you prepared to surrender for God? Are you willing to give everything for Jesus? Amen.